Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the wonderful woman that we have here today. Her name is Liz Toombs, and she is from PDR Interiors. Liz, thank you for being here.
Hi, Brooke. I'm excited to be here and have a conversation with you.
I am so excited to discuss interior design for university and college age students. If I understand right, you have a niche in this. Is that true?
I do, yes. My team and I do a lot of sorority spaces on campuses across the country.
I love that. But before we dive in, give us a little bit of insight and background into who you are and how you got where you are today with your interior design business.
Well, sure. So kind of starting back at the beginning during my college days, I knew that I was interested in design, but architecture wasn't the route for me. That wasn't exactly how I wanted to go. So I had a really good advisor who kind of heard me out, listened to what I was saying. was interesting to me, and then suggested that I take some courses in textiles. So I took her advice, and that's what I did. And I ended up graduating with a degree in merchandising apparel and textiles. And so even though it had that fashion focus and that was of interest as well, I knew I wanted to steer it towards like the home side of things, home fashion. And so that's what I did. I just jumped in and started getting my feet wet and worked for a couple of other companies post-graduation, and then ended up going out on my own right after the recession in 2009, and just sort of landed here through building my network and getting to know folks and really starting to focus on the sorority space for housing.
You know, that sounds like so much fun. And one of the things I love, because I am certainly not good, but I play with interior design myself, and I always love how it just livens up a space. It makes it feel like your own versus this very sterile environment. And sometimes the university can feel very sterile or just not homey. How does interior design change that?
Well, there's a lot of things that interior design can help with when it comes to your college space, whether that's a dorm or a basic apartment or a room in a Greek house. And so just think about layering things in to make it feel homier. That could be layering in additional lighting besides the overhead kind of harsh, sometimes fluorescent lighting. That could be layering in soft textiles like blankets and pillows and really making the bed more plush and make it more comfortable and inviting. Layer in some rugs on top of, even if you have wall-to-wall carpet in your college space, that doesn't mean you can't lay a really soft, plush, comfortable rug on the floor. So think about it in terms of layering, and you'll start to see ways that you can make it more homey. That applies to the walls too, even with artwork.
Mm-hmm. And colors too, because we all know colors make a huge, huge difference. But an issue in our university is that we can't always put things on the walls. We sometimes can't change the colors of paint. So we have to find ways to have that flair and add our personality without necessarily destroying property, which is something to think about.
You are right. They tend to frown upon putting any kind of nails or screws in the walls. So 3M hooks and 3M adhesive and any kind of, those tacky options allow you to put some things up on the wall if they're lightweight enough, and then you can get a different vibe than just having a big blank wall. I really like using tapestries too, like wall hangings. And if it's a drywall situation, not like a cinder block, you can use thumbtacks and put those in, and you usually don't get in trouble for doing that. And so then you can start to choose colors in your artwork, in your bedding, in your whatever you're hanging up or laying down. And to your point, you can change the look of the room using those colors.
Yes, and not get in trouble in the process, because we don't want you guys to get in trouble. I want to
reverse course a little bit and ask you an interesting question. How did you make your space your own in your university years?
Oh, that's a really good question. No one has ever asked me. So let me kind of set the scene for you, what my dorm looked like. So it was very 1970s. You walked in this door and it was completely symmetrical, identical on the left and the right. It was kind of like a shotgun long room. So you walked in, closet immediately on the left, then a dresser with a mirror, a little bit of a wall dividing that space from then you walked in further, the bed on the left with some storage beneath it, and then one really long shelf that ran the length of the room, and it is death, right? Yeah, brown wood, blah. White walls. Okay, I can't tell you what the carpet was. I don't remember that at this point, but we had a desk at the foot of the bed and then a bay window at the end of the room where we put like a little mini fridge and some dishes and things, right? So we're really limited. So I chose some really colorful bedding, some like striped bedding. Randomly, it was an MTV brand from Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm like dating myself here. This is like dark ages stuff. But anyway, colorful stripes, very fun. I used a ton of framed photos of friends and family along those shelves. I think I remember putting some sort of lamp up there to get some nice light. I put a bulletin board on the wall using some adhesive that I talked about so that I could put more photos or anything that was important to me up and just try to get in color and personality in all the possible ways in that dorm.
Yeah, and that beautiful space with the shelf and the very inspiring closet. It sounds so inspiring from your description. One thing that I got into when I was in university, and I'm still very into it, is I like to get random like vases of different colors and do floral arrangements because they're fun. It's a hobby. It's not that expensive. And it's a great way to bring that space to life because sometimes it can feel a little uninspiring. It's a little dark, a little bit like a cave, I think is a good way to say it. So anything you can do to lighten that up is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm doing a course right now for a certification. It's called Science in Design. And they talk a lot about biophilia and bringing in plants. And that's just, so even what you're talking about, even if it's a silk greenery, if it's not a real flower or plant, it can still do so much for your psyche and just the vibe of the room to bring that in. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Oh my goodness. Well, as you started to evolve, so you decorated your dorm and certainly you've evolved since then. What has changed in your approach from, let's say, when you were in university and you were decorating until now?
I think when I was younger, I went really bold, very strong colors, really dramatic looks. Like, for example, one of the first houses I rented off campus, I painted the room hot pink, the trim charcoal gray, and then I did this feather dusting technique in silver. So it was a little like stimulating. Yeah, it was a lot. Now I'm a little bit more subdued. I want more of a zen, calm environment, something to enhance whatever's happening in that room. So if I'm sleeping, I want it to be very restful in the bedroom. If I, you know, I'm out in the living room, I may get a little bit more bold and interesting in that way. And also that's just for me personally. Like when I'm, you know, working with clients, I try to ask a lot of questions to get to the meat of what it is that they want and what they need and how they're going to use their spaces and then put in some items that suit that and help us achieve that.
Can you give me examples of a few of those questions that students can ask themselves to get to the heart of what do they actually like away from the influence of social media or whatever they've seen on a Pinterest board? What would you ask yourself?
So first question is, what works about this space just as it is? So whether that means you've not moved in yet and it's a blank box, or you have moved in, you've lived there a while and something isn't jiving. What works and what doesn't about being in there right now? And that will start to help you understand what you're needing. And then also factor in, what do I do in this space? Is it a space that I am sleeping, eating, and studying? Okay, then we might have to get creative in how we create a space that is conducive to all of that. If it's just your sleep space, okay, that is a little bit more targeted. If this is just where you study, okay, you can start to figure out how to achieve those things as well. But once you determine what the purpose of the space is for you, if you don't already know how to make it better and to enhance that activity, in the space, then start looking it up. Like, how can I create a restful space? What kind of elements create a room that allows me to focus better so that I can study and I can remember what I'm reading on the page? There's a lot of benefit, I think, to Googling and to researching, but first you have to do what you said and ask yourself those questions.
Mm-hmm. How do you balance functionality and fun? Because I could see it be easy. Oh, I'm going to do everything to be functional. Or conversely, I'm going to do everything to be fun. How do you balance that in a way that speaks to your personality, but also speaks to the functionality of the space?
I think looking for items that maybe have dual purpose. Like a great example that I talk about a lot when it comes to dorm rooms is a storage ottoman. So find a super cute upholstered bench or ottoman that you like that you can sit on, that can store things for you, but maybe it's in a fabric and it's done up in a style that's really reflective of your personality. That could be fun and funky, or it could be, you know, really classic and just tailored. There's a lot of options there. So kind of just look for some pieces that do both things for you, because I think sometimes you feel like function can be boring. And then so you go for like inexpensive, kind of crappy, not, you know, very helpful things if you're going too much on the fun side.
Give me an example, if you have one, of maybe something you bought that you had instant buyer's remorse.
I don't have a good one at the moment. And I know that there are some things. I would say probably, though, what comes to mind is if I bought something based on somebody else having it, just like you said, being influenced by social media or seeing it on TikTok shop and being like, I have to have that, and not actually thinking about, how will I use this? Where will I put it? I hate having things that don't have a purpose, even if that purpose is just to be beautiful and be like a conversation piece. But I'll have to think on that, what buyer's remorse I might have.
I certainly have a lot of buyer's remorse. I've done the zebra themes, all of those themes. So when you're saying you've gone big and bold, I relate to that. And like yourself, I've gotten a little more subdued over the years, but still like to incorporate different colors. And another thing that I like to do, and we'll get to budgeting in just a minute, is I love to change out my decor based on the season, what's going on in my life, maybe a thing that I'm celebrating.
So let me ask you this. When you change out for the season, do you then consistently, for a couple years in a row, pull the same things out for fall? Or when you put it away, do you never get it out again?
I usually get the same things out, but I might change it. So if I have an arrangement, maybe I'll do something new or add a new picture to a frame. And there's such small tweaks you can make to make something feel new again.
Yes, I love that you recognize that. I do the same thing. Like, for example, we're coming into the holiday season. You know, some folks already are turning over and they've gotten away from fall and they're going straight into like Christmas holiday decor. A person that likes to wait till Thanksgiving is over. But what I do is I transition my Christmas decor into winter decor. So, you know, the tree may come down, but there may be some other things that stay out, some flocked pine cones or, you know, whites and silvers and grays. So it feels wintry and fun. And I like to be able to do that. So I'm like you with kind of rolling things over by the season and pulling out and reusing. And the best thing to do and the best way to stretch your budget when you're doing that is think about what some of the inexpensive items in the room are. So maybe they're tchotchkes up on the shelf or that you put on the coffee table. Maybe it's throw pillows in a color that are kind of indicative of the season. Maybe it's a throw blanket. Some of those things that are easily packed away, like in a tote, you can put them in the attic or put them in a closet, but they also didn't cost you a lot of money. It's not like you're trying to change out a sofa or a TV.
You're not spending your life savings, guys. We do want to stress you're not spending your life savings on a piece of decor and a space that's not entirely your own. But speaking of budgeting, and to your point, where can students look for these sort of pieces?
I am a home goods like diehard, right? I love it. I love going in there and finding good name brands for really inexpensive prices. It's fun because it's not like walking into Target where, you know, every Target's going to have the same things on the shelf right now. So it feels a little bit more unique and like a fun find. And I'll tell you right now, I've started to get into thrifting or going
me
to
too.
All the vintage stuff. It's really fun. You have to like go in with an open mind and either look for something that speaks to you or go in with a list of like, okay, these are the types of things I think I want. So you have some sort of purpose, but it's so fun and so affordable.
It's so affordable. Now, this is going to be off topic, but you are the sort of person to appreciate this. I got a ring from an estate sale. It's from the 1960s, and I was doing some interviews for some young children, and I had my hand around the microphone, and this woman came up to me, and she says, "Where did you get that ring?" I said, "Well, I got it at an estate sale. You know, they said it was from 1960. She goes, "I'll buy it right off your hand." So even if something's been worn before or used before, it does not mean that it can't still be full of life and bring so much to your space.
Oh my gosh, I totally agree. I bought a pair of swivel chairs and an ottoman for so dirt cheap at like a secondhand store a while back. My sister and I had gone to like a peddler's mall kind of fair event, and we went in an antique shop next door, and then I had them recovered and they have completely new life, and I've used them in all different places in my home. And so I love that. I love that they have a story. I also think that products we make now sometimes aren't the quality that they used to be. And so there's something so valuable in picking up something from the past and its quality and just cleaning it up or shining it up and giving it a new life.
So when you're going in, you're going to decorate maybe a sorority house or a Greek house, something of that nature. What has been the most rewarding part of doing that, the most special experience?
I get really excited, like geeked out level excited, when I hear like squeals of excitement from students if I'm lucky enough to be there when they see it for the first time, or if they send us a note that just says, "We were able to have a sisterhood event in the TV room and like 35 of us packed in on that sectional that you created for us. We love it so much. Thank you." That means a lot because it means that we achieved the goal, which was created a space that they can live in and thrive in during their college years. And so that's really special to me. I enjoy that so much.
Oh, and the squeals, I can just imagine how loud those get sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they're a lot, but it's fun to see the smiles and to know that those students are excited.
It is, and it makes a big difference just feeling comfortable and feeling at home, especially in a place where it's sometimes easy to feel a little bit lost or like you're going through a very transitional phase. It can be incredibly challenging. So that it's an anchor really to who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is your home for the 4, 5, 6, however many years you're in school, depending on what kind of programs you're going through. And so it's an honor for me and my team to get to create the backdrop for that and that space that you feel comfortable and safe in. You know, mental health is such a big discussion right now, specifically for college students. And so we recognize that this environment is playing a role in the mental health. And so it just all connects. And we're trying to create that safe, comfortable haven, like I said, where you can just thrive during those years.
If you are going to give 3 pieces of advice to university students, they can be about interior design or they can be not about interior design, what would you say?
I would say that it's okay to change course. So what you think you're going to be doing right now as you're going through your studies and what you think your career goal is going to be, great, keep going. If that ends up changing along the way, it doesn't mean that you failed in any way. I was always someone who believed that whatever course you set on, you had to stay on it. And so that's something I do a lot of mentoring with interns and students through my business. And so that's something that I share quite a bit. Oh gosh, other pieces of advice. I think that you get a lot of intangible benefits through these years that you don't even realize, and you probably won't realize for a long time to come. Like, I didn't realize how much my leadership skills were shaped during my time in college, specifically in the sorority. And I didn't even hold a leadership role, but there's so many things I can look back on now and point to and realize how that was shaping me as a person and then how I'm able to implement those things right now. And then, yeah, I think as far as design, I'm trying to think what might be a good tip. Just have fun with it, right? It's not the end of the world. If you make a mistake, that's okay. Just try and not make it an expensive one. And, you know, always feel like you can change things up. I think that kind of ties in with what I said about the course for your life too and your plans. Like, it's okay to change course.
As you evolve, so will your style, so will your taste, and that is natural. And that's a really, really good thing. Is there a mantra or a quote you live your life by?
Probably. I'm a big music lover, and so I'm sure there's some kind of song quote or something that depends on the day. That
it might be a different song every day. And I have to tell you, too, about design. I listen to different songs and just different things to inspire me when I'm working in a space.
Yeah. Honest to goodness, every day there is a different song in my head, and it's always something very different. Sometimes I've heard it, sometimes I haven't. So, but I mean, I'd say, I don't know that it's a mantra necessarily, but I very much feel that my purpose is to mentor and to help the next generation along. And so I feel like I've been positioned very uniquely with my business, with the students that we serve as our customers, our clients, and then with the young women that have come through the doors to work alongside me. I feel like all of that is on purpose. And so I feel very fortunate to get to do that and get to help college students in a variety of ways.
I love that. Now, if someone has listened to you, they're inspired, they want to learn more, perhaps they're a university director, where can they find you?
Sure. So our website is pdr-interiors.com. You can also find PDR Interiors on Instagram and TikTok. And then I am on LinkedIn, Liz Toombs.
Absolutely amazing. As we wrap up, is there anything you want to say that you have not had a chance to yet?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. I love to talk about all things decorating and design. And within the college realm, I think it's fun. I think it's a space that often gets overlooked, but there's so much opportunity and it doesn't have to be as limiting as it may appear.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.